Good morning and happy Sabbath, One Turner Church. It is great to be with you. I know we're not in person. We will eventually. In fact, next month in March, we are planning to have as many aspects of the service live, including the sermon. So I'm really excited about that because between me and you, I'm a little bit sick of the online space. And I know this is what we've got at the moment and we can still get a blessing from this, but I would love to be face to face and to see you guys face to face. Probably forgotten a lot of your faces. We've gotten 2 years older, including myself. I've got another addition to the family as well. So a lot of things have changed, but we're looking forward to meeting in person. The Brunt household as well just wants to extend our gratitude to everyone who's been so caring over the last couple of weeks. The last 2 or 3 weeks have been a very trying time for us in a good way. We've just moved house. Welcome to the new space of my study. We have obviously had a newborn, so that's added to our family. And then with the changes in my work as well. So keep praying for our family, especially Maritza. We would love your prayers. And we want to thank you for those who have given us food and words of encouragement. That keeps us going. And so we want to thank you so much for that. But we do want to carry on this message. We've been going through a series called the Resilience Series. And the idea behind the series is to equip and empower you in very practical ways to be able to make you more resilient, especially during these times, because God knows we need resilience. Things become very trying, especially after the last 2 years, and we need that strength. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've been following an acronym, the Creation acronym. And Yoshi has started off our series. His first series is about choice and choosing your time wisely and how you spend on social media. And then last Sabbath, he went through the R, which represents rest, and finding that true rest, that proper rest in Christ in the Sabbath. So today, we want to go through the letter E, which represents the environment. And you might be thinking to yourself, why on earth does there need to be a sermon on the environment? I don't know about you, but I haven't really heard many sermons preached about environment. And it's not the environment as the politicized environment that we talk about. This is more of the space around you. And I'm very excited about this because there is a lot on this topic. It is huge. But before I take you on that journey of looking at how the environment can help us, I want to take you on a very short detour and go through a game with you called Would You Rather? But before we do that, let's have a prayer and let's invite the Holy Spirit into our homes. Loving Father in heaven, Lord, we want to just thank you so much for every blessing that you give to us. We want to thank you for just the Sabbath. And we want to thank you for technology. And Lord, there are so many things that we miss that you bless us with. And so we want to thank you for that and praise you. And Lord, we just want to pray that you will give myself wisdom as we go through this message. May those who are tuning in be able to receive a blessing from this, is my prayer in your precious name. Amen. All right. Would you rather? Have a look at these two pictures on the screen right now. Would you rather the inside picture, that's a hospital. Many of you know what the inside of our hospital room looks like. Or would you rather be outside in this beautiful space? Now, this is a gimme question, right? This is to show you the extremes of both ends. But have a look at this next one. Would you rather the inside, or would you rather the outside of this picture? And yes, Yoshi, there is fast Wi-Fi in the first picture. There's no Wi-Fi in the second one. That might help your choice. That might help a lot of our choices. Now, what about this third one? Inside or outside? Now, to quote the famous commercial of that little girl, ¿por qué no los dos? Why not both? Can't you do both? And sure, we can. We all have different preferences. Some are more drawn to different spaces. Some will automatically choose the outside regardless of the space. Some will choose the inside. Some will choose the decor of which one's better. For me, I prefer modern environments and spaces. I like glass, whereas my wife likes wood, natural things. And we all have this kind of difference of how we like things, but the truth is, the environment around us actually brings very visceral emotions. We have emotions attached to different places. They make us feel different things. There was a study that was done by the Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital in New York, and they found that cancer patients who had previously been there to do treatment, obviously, if you've ever had cancer or know someone who's done treatment for cancer, it's not a very nice place or time to go through. They found that they could re-experience some of those symptoms of chemotherapy by just visiting the same clinic and hearing certain sounds, or seeing certain pictures, or smelling certain things that would trigger a lot of those negative reactions and emotions. Now that's quite a scary thing to go through, to have to relive some of those times just by very simple trigger points. Now, it kind of just shows how amazing and how much the environment plays a role in certain emotions and how they can imprint into you, and they can either heal or they can harm. Now, just think about the environment that you are in, and does the environment that you're in evoke positive feelings? Do they invoke negative feelings? What are the emotions that come in the environment of your home? How are they imprinting on people who come into that house? You see, there's a blessing in Deuteronomy 6. And in Deuteronomy 6, it has many things to kind of bless the home that you're in. And there's a specific part that I just want to mention. It says, "Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, what is God talking about here with writing them? He means his commands. It means his words. So when you're in a home, people are meant to walk under the doorpost of the entryway and immediately realize they're in a very spiritual, calm place. Now, do people feel that warmth and that spirituality when they walk into your house? Do you feel that? Does your family feel that? Do visitors who come to your gates feel like they have been touched by a very calming and beautiful spirit? Because this idea of a feel of the environment of your space can apply to anything. It can apply to your home, it can apply to your work, it can apply to the church. I mean, I don't know about you, but most people, when they enter a church for the first time, make a judgment on that area in a few short seconds, just by the environment that they're in. Not only about how it looks, but how it smells, how friendly the people are, all the colors inside, they all play a difference as to how they feel about that environment. And environments play such a key role in understanding the feel of that place. Now, environments for me have been very important because I've been in many different environments in my life. In fact, just in the homes that I've lived in, I'm coming up to 31 this year. Oh, and I've moved more than 25 times. Now, I say more, I think I've moved about 28 or 29 times, but I just can't pinpoint some of those other addresses. But I'm sure it's at that number. I've moved around a lot. I've experienced a lot of different spaces. And I can tell you right now that a space really contributes to your mood and to how you feel, and really, at the end of the day, to your resilience and your strength. Now, I want to show you just a picture of this study when we first moved in. So, I don't know about you, but that picture stresses me out big time. And maybe it stresses you out too. Like, just looking at that picture stresses me. Now, obviously, this is the new, much better, cleaned up area, as you can see in this film and on the picture on the screen. But you must know the feeling that a very cluttered area, a place that does not feel clean and tidy, does actually represent your mind at the same time. Like for the first week that we were in this house, there were boxes galore. We didn't know where half the stuff was. You couldn't see the floor. And if you've ever moved before, you understand the feeling of not knowing where you are yourself. Like every minute, I had to reassess my brain because I just felt like I had 100 points of things that were going on in my brain and I felt so lost. Now, I feel a little bit better. The room is a lot nicer. There's bits in the house that still need to be done, but the environment had a direct connection to my brain. Now, something that you may not know is that your environment not only affects your mood, but it can actually either heal you or harm you. It has that much power that what you see, what you smell, what you experience doesn't just affect your mood, which is important, but it actually affects the insides right down to your biology, your nervous system, your endocrine system, your immune system. They all react to where you are at the time. And it's interesting to see some of these different studies that have been done countless over decades that show this connection between your internal health and your outside world. There seems to be this very special direct connection between the environment and who you are on the inside. Now, there are countless studies of the effects of the environment on you, but and you can YouTube them and you can Google them and they'll pop up for you. But I don't want to spend time talking about that. What I want to spend time talking about today is not the what, but the why. Why is there such a connection between the environment and us? Why does it affect us so much? And you will find that as you look into this big, huge study of environmental studies, it's a huge topic, you will find a pattern. And that pattern is this, that the more detached you are from the natural world, the more your body starts to react in a negative way. Now, no study has countered that argument. The less natural creation that you get, the less creation you're exposed to, the more your body affects in a negative way. And it's interesting because when you are in a hospital or in an office space or in a plane, you know, these kind of enclosed indoor spaces, and you get out, you immediately know the feeling, right? When you've been in your office all day and you get outside and you take a deep breath. Or if you've been inside all day in your house and you just step outside, you immediately feel rejuvenated. You feel revived. You feel recharged. And there's an interesting study that was done, and I'm going to butcher this, but it's in the journal Acta Horticulturalia. And it's in the 2008 study. And they found that if you simply put a plant inside your office or your home, that your body is impacted so much that your anxiety and depression decreases by a very significant margin. By just putting a plant, nothing else, you don't even have to step outside, but just in view of where you are to break up all of that wall and technology and man-made stuff, just seeing nature can affect your body so much. But why? Why is that relevant to us? And being a Christian, is there any connection between this and how God has created us? Well, if you believe that you are a created being in the image of God, if you believe that you were part of the 6-day creation, and that we as humans were just but one aspect of what God created over a 6-day period, then of course you will understand that there is a connection between how God made nature and creation and how he made us. And you will probably not be surprised that we were made to be in tangent, to be in connection, to walk alongside each other because we were made together. The animals, the nature, and us all have a direct connection. Literally last week, there was a study that was done in Canada, and they found that going into nature, surprise, surprise, helped you, right? It took them a study to figure that out. What they did, though, is that they enact change according to these results. And so in Canada now, you can walk into a GP's office, you can tell them of your depression or anxiety, whatever you're going through, and they can actually prescribe with a piece of paper for you to go and spend time in national parks as a prescription, as a medication. So not just a Panadol or an antidepressant, which is what usually happens if you need help to get out of your depression, but they can actually prescribe nature. And so what they do is they prescribe national parks. You get, I think, an annual pass for free that's covered under their Medicare equivalent. And just have a read. This is an article in Forbes. It says, nature is good for a wide variety of conditions, from diabetes to high blood pressure to ADHD and depression. There's almost no health condition that nature does not make better, said Lem, who notes the nature prescriptions have been given to patients with all of these conditions since the scheme launched. There is almost no condition medically that cannot be helped by being in nature. Now, I don't know about you, but why has it become such a modern prescription now to be prescribed nature, when we've known, if you read your Bible, that we have a direct connection to God's creation? Why does it have to be prescribed? But at least it's a good move by the Canadian government to be able to prescribe that, because that's exactly what a lot of people need, just to get outside. And that they say, you know, 2 hours a week, go for a walk in nature. Think about it in your mind right now. How often do you spend outside in a week? And I'm not talking about the walk to the car and back. That doesn't count as outside, even though you're walking outside of a house. I'm saying intentional times where you go for a walk in a park, or you go for a run outside, or you go to a swimming pool, or something that happens outside in nature, connecting to God's creation. How often do you do that during the week? I know that for me, it's not much. But we shouldn't be surprised as Christians to know that God created creation and nature for our good. In fact, have a look here in Genesis, because we know the Genesis account. We know in the first chapter, it's all about how God created the world. And we can name from 1 to 6 the way that it happened. And we make that chapter such a literal account of historical documents, and it is. But I believe that piece of writing is more than just telling us how creation was made. I actually believe that chapter there is to tell us why. Listen to this. Right at the end of chapter 1, in verses 29 to 31, God kind of reiterates the reason why. And it says here in verse 29, "And God said, 'See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is in the face of all the earth, and every tribe whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for your food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird in the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food.' And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now, when you read that chapter, whenever you read something and it's repeated, it means it's important. It means you need to pay attention. And as you keep reading, God says that every day it was good, and it was good, and it was good. But here we see right at the end of that chapter, God steps back, looks at the whole creation. He says he creates all of this for the animals and the humans, for you to enjoy. And he said, it is very good. Now, when we read that, we say, well, what is good? And we can imagine God, you know, stepping back, looking at everything he's done and saying, yeah, I've done a good job. But I don't believe that is what it truly means. Sure, God was admiring his work, but God is a humble God. And he knows that what he creates is always good. I think what he's saying here is that it's good for us. And he says that here in these last verses. He creates all of this. And then he tells humans, he says, all these seeds and everything that is yielded from the ground and everything I've created, it is for you. It's for you to consume and to go and do. And later he tells Adam to go and name the animals and to work the field and to be a part of creation. I feel like God was saying that his creation was very good for us. And you can see that right here when we look at all the information that's presented to us and all the science that tells us that being in nature is important. Yes, when God creates, it is good. But creation is good for us. Now that runs counterintuitively to our world today, to our reality today, because this may not be new news to you, but we don't spend that much time in nature. In fact, we are spending less and less time outside in God's creation than ever before. There was a study done at the end of 2021 by the EPA, and they found that we are spending about 90% indoors. So that's 85% in our homes and 5% or in offices and 5% in our cars. That leaves 10% time that we are outside. And whether that 10% is just spending out, you know, in the outdoor dining areas or walking to and from a car, you know, non-intentional time, it doesn't seem like much time at all to be connecting with nature. Now, by contrast, Jesus spent a lot of time in nature. In fact, there are some conservative measures that have looked at Jesus' life and the 33 years that he was here on earth, and they estimate that he walked almost the circumference of the earth, which is a lot. Now, obviously, I know that it's not a reasonable comparison because they didn't have cars. You know, they couldn't just jump into the car and drive somewhere. It's convenient for us. I mean, if they had cars back then, obviously they'd be driving a Honda because the Bible says that they were all in one accord, right? I know, it's bad. I know. Yoshi's been really rubbing onto me lately with these bad jokes. But anyway, this idea of Jesus and his ministry spending so much time in people's homes and going out and walking and spending time taking fruit off the trees, right? These things don't happen to us anymore. And I feel like we in this day and age are not spending the time that we were created for. We were created to walk in the creation. The Genesis account says that God would walk daily with Adam and Eve through the Garden of Eden. That's where they would converse. And Jesus does the same thing. The Bible accounts and says that he would sometimes wake up before the sun got up and would find a mountainside and talk to his Father. There is a real connection between nature and God. And if you've ever felt sitting on a beach or seeing a sunrise or looking up at the stars, you know exactly what I mean. When it makes you feel spiritual, all those worries of the world just dissipate because nature really makes them so much more smaller. So here's my question for you. What is your environment doing to you? Is it harming you or is it healing you? How much time are you spending outside? And it's not just outside. Remember, Jesus is an example. We're not even just talking about nature. Environments mean who you hang out with. The sphere that is around you, those that you hang out with, that's an social environment. Who are the people that you hang out with the most? Jesus was very intentional about the 12 disciples that would be around him. Are you being intentional about who is surrounding you and whether they are hurting or they are healing you? Are they building you up or are they making you worse? Now, I don't want this message to just be a sermon about facts and I don't want to leave it just there because I want to be a bit more practical. I want to bring some action. What can we do to be better, to make our worlds better, to be more resilient when it comes to our environment around us? Well, I want us to take a page out of a high security prison in Denmark. And you may not be surprised that this is in Denmark. I surely wasn't. But remember that this prison here, it's called the Storstrom prison. This is a high security prison, but have a look at the pictures. It looks like a building, just a normal building. But this place was it was meant to be a place of rehabilitation, right? It wasn't meant for punishment. They wanted people who got out of this prison to be better than the people that they were before they came in. Have a look at these pictures here. Inside they have gardens, they have an open light chapel, they have colorful walls. Now, these places, again, this is a high security prison. This is a place of people who have committed murders and rape and all these horrible things, and they're being rehabilitated in prison. Now, if a prison can do it, so can you. And all it takes is to just rejuvenate the space that you're in. Now, whether that's at home, because I know we're spending a lot more time at home, whether that's at the office, whether that's just with the people that you spend time with, reevaluate where you are and how it contributes to who you are. Think about the small things like light, sound, color. You know, to be able to have a house that has a lot of light can actually affect your mood. You can have better sleep. A place that is quiet or has soothing music and sounds can also affect your space. And here's something that you may have not heard before, but clean your room, right? And maybe I'm talking to the teenagers here watching, but before you start your day, clean your room, because your room represents your mind. And if it's a mess, your mind's going to be a mess for the rest of the day. Before you start attacking the world, attack the room. Make sure it's clean and tidy, because then you will feel like you can attack the world. You'll be a clearer mind. You'll be stronger and more resilient for it. And maybe I'm talking to some of the adults too. But yeah, it's very important to have a clean space. And again, think about this. Use this as a time for looking around and asking yourself this question. What environment do I portray to others? Because it's not just about making yourself feel better. We create environments wherever we go. Whenever you walk into a group, notice how you change that group. Do you do it for better or for worse? When you enter your home and your family is there, are they happy? Are they stressed? Because those things can contribute. You create an environment around where you are. So what environment are you creating around you? You know, there's a reason why sounds like tools and traffic and technology, that they're not sounds that relax us, because they're not sounds that have been created by God. They're man-made things. That's why when you have trouble sleeping, you put on a playlist of raindrops falling, or waves, or wind rushing through the trees. These are things that God created for our good. And it's for us to reconnect to God's creation to heal us. Let me end with just a verse in Romans 1 that kind of puts a bow onto this message. It says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." When you are in tune with creation, you are in tune with God. There is a direct connection between the two. So take this as a time to recalibrate your surroundings, how you're spending time with God. Maybe once a week, do your devotion outside instead of inside. I know it's hard with the times that we live in, we're so busy, but make this time to be intentional, not only for your health and for your resilience, but those who are around you. Because as it says here, we've got no excuse for not knowing God. Creation and nature is there for us to connect with him, because that's how he built us. That's how he created us, to be very aware of our environment and to be able to help that give us tools in our toolbox to be more resilient for these times that are very hard. But we know that we can do better with him and connecting with him and being in good environments and spaces. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for what you have created for us and around us. We know that we live in a time where we're spending more time inside. So, Lord, whatever we can, help us to be able to connect with you more with your nature and creation. Help us to create spaces around us that reinvigorate us, and also help us as people reinvigorate people around us as well. We pray that you will bless everyone who's tuned in. May they be able to find a calm, spiritual place where they can connect with you, and may be able to make us stronger in these times, is my prayer in your name. Amen. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.